Welcome back. If you just tuned in, you're about a half hour late, but you're just in time because we're bringing on today's guest. Melinda Green, with an E, is the Santa Barbara County Assistant Department Head, Clerk Recorder's Office, the Assessor's Office, and the Registrar of Voters. The department head being Joe Holland, who's been a frequent guest over the years. But Melinda Green, with an E, has graciously agreed to participate in today's program. Welcome to Radio Real Estate, Melinda Green.
Thank you so much, Mark. I'm happy to be here. Happy to share any insight I can about official record recording.
You know, it's funny. Now that we have you on the air, you sound like the gal that did the Rockford bit introduction today. we'll have to play you that, or you will send it to you. You'll hear it.
All right, I'll listen.
So how long have you been in your current position, and would you like to tell me anything else about your background that gives you the right to come on the radio and tell us
sure.
what you know?
Sure. I've worked for Joe Holland, the elected clerk, recorder, assessor, since 2003, but I started at the county in 23 years ago. I started as an auditor. Worked for the auditor controller as a CPA, and then went to the CEO for a number of years, worked as a budget analyst. And then in 2003, I transferred to clerk recorder, assessor, and managed software projects.
So
and then now I'm the chief deputy clerk recorder, and I manage the Hall of Records.
The Hall of Records. I like that.
Right.
I like that. This is the documents that are recorded now.
Right. It sounds fancier than giant bulletin board of land records.
Yeah. I wonder is it like a vintage Hall of Records, like a big old library?
It is. You know, everybody come down to our Hall of Records. We have national landmark status, and it is beautiful. When you see those pictures of the courthouse and you see the glistening skylight, that's us. That's the Hall of Records. And we have docent tours come through there, but just come on in. I mean, you should have your birth certificate and marriage certificate, all those things ready to go for real ID. But just even if you have everything, you don't have any business with us, stop on by because it's beautiful.
Do you serve wine between 5 and 7?
We don't. I wish we did. How do we ask Joe for that?
So what'd you say about bringing a birth certificate? What was that?
So we issue the birth certificates if you're born in Santa Barbara County or if you were married in Santa Barbara County. We have those certificates in our office. And so I'm just giving a quick plug because with Real ID, so many people have to obtain those documents to assert their identity with the DMV.
I have my original birth certificate from Mount Vernon, New York. So hopefully I won't have trouble getting that real ID. That's what I'm going to need to bring to the DMV to get my new...
Yes, you need a certified copy.
Boy,
and not the baby footprints from the hospital. The certified copy that comes on the security paper with the money. Feels like money.
Boy, I'm glad. Boy, it was worth having you on just for that. I got to make sure I have that.
All right, so let me talk about official records. So they're also known as land records. And anything that records in the county with regard to real estate records in our office and the official record. It's available online. We have what's called the grantor-grantee index for the real estate records. Our website is sbcrecorder.com.
Say that again.
It's SBC, like Santa Barbara County, recorder.com. And that's where the public can research various real estate records that have recorded.
Well, that's good to know. And what kind of lag time, if someone closes on January 1st, when will it be up online?
Well, that's a great question because it's different for all different counties throughout the state. But in Santa Barbara County, we really prioritize it, and we say 24 hours. In fact, oftentimes, when you record, say, a deed, you purchase a house and you submit a grant deed with us, we will record that record and have it posted to the internet, sometimes as early as noon, but definitely by the end of the day. Nobody's going home until we've posted all the records for the day. And if we get behind at high volume, then we stay late. We want those records to have constructive notice so that way, the next morning when the title company is coming in to record the sales, that they know all the records up to date. That's very important to us, that we're speedy. So we're committed to that.
Well, I was going to bring up the fact that the title companies, they kind of get their first thing to record the note.
Right and early, yes.
Right and early. But
they want to be first in line.
Right. So I got confused. So what happens the day before? Aren't they the first people to come in? When you said something happens the day before they come in?
Well, we want to make sure that everything that recorded the day before is already posted and up to the internet for their title searches, so that first thing in the morning, they know 100% of what's recorded. There's nothing pending and in the queue.
Thank you. Thank
you. That's how we make sure that everything's completed from the day before. We complete it in that day. In other counties, they don't do that.
And this allows the title company to grant title insurance to the buyer, and it gives them security that they know when they record that house that there's nothing pending.
Do you know why we think that's so important? Because if you're delayed, then maybe I'm going to try to record two deeds and sell my house twice and take the money and run. That leads us to our next topic, which is real estate fraud. And we really believe in transparency and speediness and our staff being properly trained so that they can identify high-risk situations and understand all the referring agencies that we need to work with in these, if there is real estate fraud.
And when there is, not if there is, there is real estate fraud.
Well, we have quite a bit.
We have quite a bit. And the fraud around the Hall of Records, is it predominantly about real estate? I mean, what else, just to backpedal a little bit before we get into the fraud aspect, you get your birth certificates are recorded.
Oh, yeah.
Marriage
we have
certificates.
Fake, people try to attempt to fake my security paper. Good luck. We study really hard. We use intaglio print. You're not faking my paper. We put a lot of work into that. But people try. People try to fake IDs. With us, we have we're a referring agency for domestic violence situations. We talked about the weddings that we do. We issue marriage licenses, but we also train our staff to watch out for duress, for potential domestic violence or elder abuse. Next week, I'm actually subpoenaed to appear in an elder abuse case where someone was married to someone that supposedly was or allegedly lacked capacity.
Mm.
So we see quite a bit, and because we perform so many services, and we are witness to it. But we have a whole protocol for documenting potential fraud and for working with participating agencies in these cases.
And what you're saying is your staff is trained. People come in to record a document, and if they're sweating profusely and wearing a hoodie or in sunglasses, you might kind of red flag that and kind of look at it a little closer. Or what do you do?
Yeah, or if we feel like a customer is under duress in some way, the staff are trained to lurk for certain cues. And then what we also do as a county, and I think this is kind of unusual, we sort of flag high-risk documents, and those just automatically go to council. So those aren't going to record right away on the spot. They're going to get a second external look from us, and at that point, council may choose to refer it to the district attorney's office. We can't make a legal judgment of something being legally insufficient or fraudulent in that moment of recording. That's not our role. In fact, as long as it meets all the recording requirements, we're required to record it.
Mm-hmm.
And we're actually protected in that. There's quite a bit of case law. Lyons versus Santa Barbara County Sheriff and Jackson versus County of Amador, there's this case law that supports that it's not our job to determine if there's fraud at the moment of recording. Our role is really to expedite that recording. But that being said, there are cases that are high risk where we believe that there's something wrong. And I can give you a couple of stories as examples. In one case, we had a gentleman recording the transaction of at least a dozen very expensive Montecito real estate properties. And the signers or grantors were very famous people that had nothing to do with those properties. So we knew immediately, well, we're going to have to flag this and send this to council and review title of the ownership of those particular properties, because we're not just going to record We do take a look at it for a reasonableness check. And in that case, we refused to record, and he refused to accept that, kept attempting to record. I kept telling him it's unlawful. He started making death threats to us, and we ended up prosecuting him. So
let
we
me
have
ask-
some of these situations that, you know, are not common, but obvious cases where fraud. I'm sorry I cut you off.
That's okay. My guest, Melinda Green with an E, Santa Barbara County Assistant Department Head, Clerk Recorder's Office Assessor, Registrar of Voters. And so normally a recorded deed would be by the title company, but individuals come in?
Individuals can come in. And oftentimes they're very we see a lot of trusts or pretty easy recordings that people can do themselves. But if it just seems unusual, it gets flagged and it gets sent to counsel. In one other case we had, the person was claiming that she was the conservator handling her father's estate. And we happened to know that her family was also researching this, and we thought, well, that's interesting. There's two separate parties discussing it. So we kind of knew that we needed to research this individual and who actually, in fact, has ownership, and we referred it to the district attorney's office. The district attorney has a sworn officer that's dedicated to real estate fraud that actually went and investigated out at the property, talked to the widow, was able to determine that this person did not have conservatorship and did not have any right to record that deed. So it was held up by counsel and referred to the DA, and they're still pending prosecution.
So an example where someone would come in on their own would be if John Jones owns a house and he decides to establish the John Jones Trust, so he simply wants to record in a new name.
Right, and we see that all the time, or it's the same parties, and it's low risk. But if the parties are changing and just something doesn't add up with the deal, we may ask them a few questions, and then we may research with counsel.
So you mentioned these two cases, Lyons versus Santa Barbara County, and also Jackson versus County of Amador, that these cases came about because someone was saying that departments such as yourself
fraud,
could be
that in some in the Lyons versus Santa Barbara case, they were claiming that we needed to prove that you know, the banks were committing this fraud and with their robo signing, and really that's not our role. Our role is very ministerial as the clerk recorder, and so we're essentially for each document title looking at a checklist of does it have recording requested by? Does it have when recorded mail to? Is there really an address there that we can mail it to? Have they paid their fees? Do they have a grantor listed? Is the grantor acknowledged by a notary? So we're going through this list of requirements. And if we meet those requirements, then we would just record it. If there's a problem, we reject it, or we potentially bring in our counsel to help us interpret the code section if it's not clear.
Mm-hmm.
There's some sort of judgment that needs to be made. That could take, you know, a couple days, 2 or 3 days, some reasonable window of time we're afforded to record. But overall, most of our recordings are pretty standard. They record within either on-site at the counter or within a few days. But in cases where there is potentially fraud and we send an investigator out and they decide you're going to hold that, then we, in some cases, we may choose to proceed with the recording because, again, we are not the investigating authority. We are not required to determine if it's fraud before recording. You know, we just work on a case-by-case basis with counsel and use their guidance to you know, for those situations where it's very likely it's fraud. In one case, I chose not to record, and that's because somebody was filing something against a sitting judge, and they were going to cloud the judge's title, and that would have impacted the judge personally. And we knew, and we felt very strongly, that it was a fraudulent recording, that there was no authority to record, so we held it. So there have been cases.
Was it a Liz Pendens that he was trying to record?
It was a notice of intent to preserve interest.
Yeah, we could probably kind of a little bit up against the clock, but I was going to ask you, I mean, there's a myriad of things to record.
Oh, yeah. Hundreds. That's why we don't always immediately record something, because there's so many different recording requirements. Sometimes we have to stop and research the code and see if they have a right to record.
Mechanics liens, how often do they get recorded?
Oh, very frequently.
Really?
Yes.
I always read about it, but you never hear about it. My guest, Melinda Green with an E, Santa Barbara County Assistant Department Head at the Clerk Recorder's Office and working for Joe Holland. So these two cases that I mentioned, you brought up, people were trying to hold recorders' offices across the state accountable, and correct me if I'm wrong, so the cases basically said, well, look, it's their job to do this. They can't be the court and jury and judge.
Right, exactly. It's a conflict of interest for us. So we pass that off to the DA. And in some cases, we pass it off to Adult Protective Services, who then involves the DA. If there's a potential elder abuse situation or domestic violence situation, Adult Protective Services often gets involved, or the DA has a wing that supports domestic abuse. So, we're often working and serving as witnesses to these other agencies that are much more trained in determining the fraud.
Well,
and we just record.
Okay. Then again, if you want to look up recordings for, is this specifically for grant deeds, if they go to sbcrecorder.com?
sbcrecorder.com. You can see what mechanic liens we've recorded, child support liens, deeds of trust if they have mortgages.
Wow.
Everything's there.
You have a voyeur's delight.
Right.
My guest has been Melinda Green with an E, Santa Barbara County Assistant Department Head, Clerk Recorder, Assessor, Registrar of Voters. And thank you for the tip about making sure I have a certified birth certificate?
Certified birth certificate. It's got to be on that pink and blue paper.
And even if I was born back east, I can't, if I've lived in Santa Barbara so long, can you get me a birth certificate for Santa Barbara?
No, only people that are born in Santa Barbara County can access it with our office.
What about when they dunk you underwater? What's that called, that religion? But what if I get baptized? Isn't that reborn, rebirth?
Nope, doesn't count.
Damn. Okay.
I know, nice.
Thank you, Melinda Green with an E. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
It was nice.
It was fun.
Thank you. Bye
All
for
right.
now.
Bye-bye.
Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate. RadioRealEstate.com. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the weekly multiple listing sales update.